pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your word. We thank you that it is powerful like a two-edged sword. And so we pray, Lord, that today you will open our hearts and minds to your word. Lord, we pray that your presence here amongst us this morning will comfort us, will speak to us, will challenge us. But Lord, help us to listen. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our daily lives so that we might please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was asked what my favourite carol is, and like many of you, I'm sure, I have more than one, so I had to choose one. And I've chosen Hark the Herald Angels Sing. You might like to open it. It's at number 211, and after I've spoken, we will be singing it. 211. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I particularly like it because of the great truths that are contained in it. It's very biblically based, and the message is summed up only in those three verses. It's a great tune as well by Mendelssohn, although when Mendelssohn wrote it, he didn't think that sacred words were suitable for it. And if you notice in your hymn book, it says Charles Wesley and others, because yes, it was actually written by Charles Wesley for Christmas Day in 1739. But it was altered by some others, including George Whitefield. And I remember my grandmother, she had a great big picture of George Whitefield in her dining room. And George Whitefield changed some of the words, and it was originally 10 verses of 4 lines each, and he condensed it. But others were also involved. But Charles Wesley wasn't very pleased with this. However, due to Charles Wesley and George Whitefield and others, we've got a terrific carol. But I like it because it's got a very clear Christmas message, a gospel message. And that, if you look at verse 1 and line 3, it says, God and sinners reconciled. That's what the message of Christmas is, that God and sinners can be reconciled because Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth. And in verse 3, I think it's line 6, it says, born that we no more may die. In some it's still got the old one, born that man no more may die. Born to give them second birth. And it tells us that his baby born, that very first Christmas, Jesus, he came with a purpose. Born to die. When a baby's born today, we look in wonder and we think, well, what is this baby going to be when they grow up? But God had a very special purpose for Jesus. He was born to die and to overcome death, to make it possible for us to be reconciled to God. The words, of course, are straight out of John's Gospel that was just read to us, to give us a second birth or born again. Yes, we're born physically of water, but we need to be born spiritually. And in this conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, Jesus says, don't you understand? You're a teacher. You're a teacher of the Jewish law, and you don't understand that you need to be born spiritually too. But yes, you do. Because each one of us is made in God's image. We are not just physical beings, but we are spiritually beings. So the carol goes on to tell us why Jesus came and who we are and who Jesus is. Well, it tells us very clearly that we are sinners. We are sinners separated from God and in need of healing, which is in the verse 3. In the first one, God and sinners. No beating about the bush, but very clear. You are sinners in need of reconciliation. We're separated from God. We're in need of forgiveness and healing. But it tells us so much more, too, about who Jesus is. It says that Jesus is, in the third verse, first line, Prince of Peace. Now, very often, I think, in our Western society, we think of peace as something where there's just a bit of silence and no busyness around us. But that's not what the Jews understand by peace. The Jews understand that peace is a vibrant living thing that makes it our well-being. And Jesus is saying, I am the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And it's all to do with our condition on the inside, not what's happening around us. And we see Jesus as the Prince of Peace in the midst of a storm on the lake. We see him when his friend Lazarus has died, unflustered. And we see him even when he was about to die as the Prince of Peace. But in Isaiah, we're told that true peace is a result of righteousness. It says, only God is righteous, and justice and righteousness come together. And of course, true peace comes from Jesus because he is righteous. He is without sin. He is God himself. And in Colossians, we're told there is only true peace through the cross. Colossians 1:20 says, Jesus made peace through his blood shed on the cross. Here is Jesus, the Son of God, born to die, bringer of peace, because that's what he did. He fulfilled the mission that God gave him, to die in my place on the cross, to die in your place on the cross, to conquer death and to bring forgiveness and healing. Today we see so much trouble in the world and people trying to make and smooth over. But you know, it has been said that we need to settle the war on the inside before we can tackle the war on the outside. And I think that's so true. We are called, aren't we, in the New Testament to be peacemakers. But first we need to know God's peace in our hearts. And then we can help to be peacemakers. But there's more about Jesus. It says that Jesus is the Son of Righteousness, the third verse, second line. The Son of Righteousness. That is a quotation from Malachi, where it said, for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings.